Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not one of those people who feels that because a man let off a small span, you is entitled to anything after you. When a woman share her body with you, is when she share her body with you. I don't business if she has, you have purchased a yacht and like a mountain and like a star for her. However, we cannot sit down and go online and get the people to just attack out the man's up because it is not correct. Clearly, if you meet the man and today you are begging money, you're not interested in this man for any relationship. You do not want any conversation or any, even in fabulous body. What you think is that this man is the type of ATM that you don't even have to put in a yard. You just throw it and money come flying off.
Baby, you go love me, your love is sweet like tangerine.
Well, you want to say hi to the listening audience?
Sure. Right. Hi, everybody.
Okay. Yes, Will is going to be our special guest tonight. And, of course, we're going to be talking about mental illness and IFA, Orisha Community Problem. I know for many people, you know, a lot of people don't like to acknowledge the fact that they're suffering from some sort of mental illness, and especially among Black people, African Americans, Africans, Caribbean people. As long as you're, you know, people of color, you're like, you're not too up with that. You know, I mean, the statistics tell us that. You know what I mean? That we don't too much like to deal with that problem. You know. So, well, I want to just jump right into the meat of it. But before we do that, I want to say something about spirituality and mental illness. Basically, what is spirituality? You know, that is very important to what we're going to be talking about here. Okay? So I'm going to say this, that, you know, we have spirituality in our way of life, especially in the Ifa and Orisha communities. You know, we don't really too much call it a religion, but to some people, it's a religion as well, okay? But, you know, spirituality is also a global thing, and it's accepted globally. It's even accepted in forms of therapy and counseling now. It's not like before, long ago, when, you know, they thought if you were talking about anything spiritual that, you know, you're actually mentally ill, and they treated you as if you were mentally ill if you told them you talked to God directly, or if you saw an aberration, or if you see a miracle happen. You know, all of these things were classified as being mentally ill back in the day. They, you know, try to give you a lobotomy too. You know, try to say, like, something wrong with your brain, you know. So it involves, spirituality itself involves belief and obedience to an all-powerful force. And normally that force is called God, right? And this force that we call God in our way of life, we call this force Olodumare. And in Olodumare to us is like a controlling force, like the universe, our own destiny is, you know, that comes through Olodumare. It also involves ways in which people fulfill what they hold to be the purpose of their lives, right? A search for the meaning of life and a sense of connectedness to the universe, you know, the universality of spirituality extends across creed and culture, okay? Different people practice it. At the same time, spirituality is also very much personal and it's unique to each person. It is a sacred realm of human experiences, yeah? Spirituality produces in man qualities such as love, right? this, at least this is what we're thinking it's supposed to do. It induces love, honesty, patience, tolerance, compassion, a sense of detachment, faith, and hope. And of late, there are some reports which suggest that some areas of the brain, mainly the non-dominant one, are involved in an appreciation and fulfillment of spiritual values and experiences. So, you know, that's our kickoff, so that people will understand that where we're going with this conversation, where we're going with it. So, my brother, talk to me. Talk to me.
So that's kind of loaded. So mental illness in Ifa is reflected just as mental illness in the community as a whole, right? Amongst, we'll just deal with America for now.
Okay.
They say something like a third of all people, right, have a mental illness, and that number keeps growing. So to expect or to think that just because you become initiated or you find yourself in some African tradition, that's not going to appeal to you at all, or that's not going to affect you at all, is nonsensical. Amongst Black people, if we, and I mean, we can't cover this in a program, but I mean, we have so many issues. Most of us are suffering from PTSD. We have all of these, you know, disturbing and dysfunctional ways in which we deal with each other. This is just America as a whole, what the culture does.
Mm-hmm.
When we relate that to once, how do you want me to approach that? Once we're in Ifa, or just how that relates to Ifa, Shaz? But that's where I begin. Just like you begin loaded, that's where I begin.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, you can say it because it's been repeated over and over and over. And I know from my own experience, and, you know, everybody, just so people don't be too much offended by this topic, because people, you know, people don't, you know, they don't appreciate being, you know, classed or diagnosed as being having a mental illness. But people have different types of upbringing, different types of culture that shape who they are. But then when you're into spirituality, like our Ifa and Orisha communities, and you become initiated, this is where who you are gets augmented. It gets augmented. Meaning, well, can you say it well? Can you say it? What happens to us when you get initiated?
You become more who you are. So you if you're crazy, you're going to become, and I hate to even use that term, but if you, how do I say this?
you become more who you are.
You're going to become more who you are. So if you're a bad person, you're going to become a worse person. You're a good person, you're going to become a better person. I think if you have this mental dysfunctional manners in which you operate, it's going to become more of that. It's going to be chaotic. Or even, and you can correct me, I think even some of the spirits that are drawn to you may be more chaotic. You may even call on more chaotic ancestors. That's generally how it plays out.
Well, you have a point there. You have a point there, you know, because, you know, I'm going to put myself as an example. You know, I've noticed like there's a lot of hostility and aggression coming from some of the Ifa and Orisha devotees, especially online on Facebook. And this aggression and this hostility may well be part of their makeup, but then the aggression and the hostility being presented in the context that is being presented is uncalled for. You understand? If we're dealing with each other in a quote-unquote spiritual sense, in a spiritual group, and having a spiritual experience, and we're sharing or a problem that we're trying to confront as a spiritual group by, you know, just by being a member of the group or even a member of, an inside member of the person that created the group, right? Even that, I'm finding hostile things happening with people, and they are like taking the whole camaraderie, the whole thing that we're in the same thing, right? That we're in the same way of life, we're in the same spiritual system, and they're taking it out of context because they become territorial. Like, this is my group. This is my Elaine. You don't come in here and tell me what to do. That kind of way. Even when it's the problem, that the initial problem is not just a personal problem between the person who's aggressing and the aggressor and the aggressee. You understand? It's not a problem between them. It's just talking, in fact, about another problem that affects everybody within our tradition. Okay? I just experienced something like that very recently. And that's just one incident of many where, those that come off like they're Orisha thugs, Orisha gangsters, whenever they're trying to explain anything or do anything having to do with the Orisha, they take the whole sacredness and humility out of what it is and turn it into how they've been raised up, or, you know, I like to say dragged up. I'm not trying to insult anybody, but when you act out of context, then you're acting like, you know, you're in a war with somebody in the same boat as you. You know? You're in a war with them. And I think it's a touch of mental illness, like you said. It could be upbringing. It could be, you know, your ancestry. It could be your trauma. It could be a whole bunch of things that can make people, you know, act out of context, that, you know, especially the territorial part, the you know, like you got to, you know, this is my territory. So if you're from another Orisha camp, you don't come into my territory and dare say nothing. You don't come in to my territory and try to teach me anything or even help me with anything. You know, especially if I didn't ask you, you see? So this is the kind of thing. Even though hostility itself, it doesn't really border on mental illness, but there are many mental illnesses that, you know, part of the diagnosis is they're hostile. You know, the person is being hostile, you know, and not just hostile because somebody else is aggressing them, or they are the, you understand? They are the aggressor, and they're doing it totally out of context. Okay? You know, Ifa teaches us to have, above all, to strive to have good character. Good character that we call Iwapwele. But I'm seeing so much bad character coming from these people who are supposed to be the spiritual, you know, spiritually, quote unquote, spiritually enlightened people, you know, who exhibit all these qualities I just mentioned a little while ago. You know what I mean? Okay, but that's not happening.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but I don't want to break your point, but with mental illness, like I said, it's exploded. One of the things we didn't even get to, right, you have so many people that suffer from depression or that suffer from anxiety. Like, those are the two most common. So when people get upset, when you throw them in a box of mental illness, we got to understand that at some point you may experience symptoms of mental illness, and if they last for a short amount of time, that wouldn't necessarily classify you as mentally ill. But when it's prolonged periods of time, that's when we get into, you know, diagnoses of bipolar, schizoaffective, you know, anxious, whatever it may be. There's so many of them. Mm-hmm. Also, we got to factor in lifestyle, like in terms of this hustle and bustle aspect of just your general day-to-day, people neglecting their mental health, like what we take in through social media, what we take in sometimes from family can often be negative, and no one really studies or fully understands like the intake of, basically absorbing all of that negative information coupled with this crazy lifestyle, coupled with prescription drugs, whatever prescription drugs you may or may not be on, coupled with whatever drinking or associative behaviors you have, it's complex.
Yes. Right?
The
yes,
human brain is complex. Mental, go ahead.
It is very complex. And the sad part about it is that many of us don't ascribe to mental health treatment. You know, we don't go to a counselor and we don't try to find, you know, people, even many of us in Ifa, you know, we have the Oracle, we have places where we can go, you know, to get, you know, to talk out our problems with, even if we go and get a spiritual reading, that's something that, you know, can reveal that something is wrong, you know? That's something that can reveal that something is wrong, right? And, you know, a lot of us don't do it on a normal basis, even the initiated
right.
Person that they're, you know, they have Orisha and everything. Once in a blue moon, they get a reading, you know, or when they have an issue, they get a reading, you know, instead of checking on themselves like regularly to see, well, you know, how am I doing? And that too can border into something else, because then you're talking about EBOs and money for EBOs, you see? So that's even something else. But there are many rituals too that people can do when they're initiated with their Orishas that a lot of people don't do. You know, they run every minute to their Baba or their Iya as to what to do, instead of doing the normal rituals and prayer, you know, themselves. So there are things that can be done. You know, the other thing is what we do when, you know, to cool our heads, you know, we do what is called Ibori, or when you're having your head tended to, you know, in the Lukumi, they call it head rogation. So the head rogation is done, you know, to center you and help you calm down and everything. But the point I was trying to make about myself, you know, because if somebody comes at you with aggression, Will, right?
Mm-hmm.
They come at you like, oh, you know, and you know you haven't done anything to warrant this, but here they come at you. I mean, sometimes it's just good to back away. That's something I have been practicing for a very long time. And that's because I am fighting, or I'm learning from Ifa. I've learned from Ifa that to keep those, because, you know, everybody got positive and negative egos and forces that influence them. And they, like you mentioned, it could come from a lot of different places where you could easily be ticked off by something or someone, right? And,
right,
you know, the people where I come from in the island, we know curse words like we know sentences. We can say curse words. We can say curse words to fill up a whole paragraph. You understand what I'm trying to say? So if I have another priest speaking to me out of context and using curse words at me when I'm not using curse words at them, you see where there's a problem with that? You see where there's a problem?
Yeah.
And you would believe that, hey, this person is crazy, because they probably thinking, well, you know, and, you know, I don't know who she thinks she is, but blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, some of the time I just want to tell them where they can go at. I really want to say, listen here, go there, you know, not too nice words either. You understand? Because they carry on with it, and because you're like quiet, you're not saying anything to them. I think they get a sense of grandiose, self righteousness, or something that they feel they could just talk to you any kind of way. They feel like, you know,
but they think it's real.
Where is it out of context there again? It's out of the context because you're speaking to me as a priest, another priest. I'm not talking about I'm jumping in your business asking you what man you're sleeping with, or if you, you know, if you're having an issue with your baba, or if you're sleeping, even sleeping with your baba. I'm not asking you any of these things. I'm not getting for, we're
right.
talking about the Orisha. The Orisha. So then the person, you get out of contact, and I've seen it so much. You know, I could go on and on about it, but you let me hear from you, buddy, because, you know, I don't know what, like you say, Ifa makes you more who you are, and that's the absolute truth. So if you were, you know, and that's a good point, because a lot of people like to rush and go and get initiated, you know?
Right.
Before they even learn anything about the Orisha or even, you know, what the actual ceremony does to them or anything. Like you say, you know, if you were crazy, you're going to be triple, quadruple crazy after the initiation. You know, you're going to be more of who you are, plain and simple. So if you're, like Will said, if you're borderline schizoid, that's what you're going to be. You're going to be augmented schizoid then. Yes. Okay. Especially if you hit it and run, meaning you get initiated, you don't know nothing, right? You have not even attained the level of humility to learn something. You haven't exercised the patience that they talk about. Sometimes you're not even honest, okay? And sometimes you don't even love the Orisha. Like, I experience outright hate. People, like, okay, you hate me, you don't like me, you don't have to like me, but respect me in the position that I am in context. We meaning, well, we're talking about Orisha. Or you're talking about Orisha. I'm an Orisha priest. I am entitled to say something to you, especially, right?
Right.
And you know, we have our hierarchy system. We have our system, and it doesn't necessarily mean the older you are in Orisha, you know more than anybody else. But it's the level of respect that you show somebody that's older than you in the tradition. Is the level of respect that you showed, especially if they didn't come and tell you, listen, hey, mama, you know, they didn't come at you like that. Well, why are you coming at them that way? You see what I mean? And then figuring that, oh, wow, I told her, blah, blah, blah. You see? And I'd be looking at them like, okay, that one need. You know, if I had to prescribe it, they would be getting a head rotation every day. Well, every day, not even once a week, every day. For how many weeks? You know, because, oh, my God, you see? So it's jumping out of context is the point that I'm bringing up here. Okay? So I want to kind of talk just a little bit just about this article I've seen here. Now, okay, you know, so we have all these articles. We have a lot of scholarly articles on the subject, believe it or not, and mostly from the Christian and Muslim perspective in terms of how they view spirituality and religion and mental illness together, you know? Okay? So, I'm going to just read this a little bit, yeah? Okay.
Okie dokie.
All right. Okay, let me see right here. Go back. Okay. This one study says when trauma, spirituality, and mental illness intersect. And let me hear you. You think that's exactly what's going on with us? Because when you talk about trauma, I mean, we just, and when I say we, everybody just went through a traumatic event with the COVID. And some people are still going through it. Right? That's right. Trauma that's going to, nobody ever going to forget about that. And a lot of, you know, the isolation, you know, different things have happened, you know. I myself had an incident that happened that, you know, I wanted to hug someone, but because of the COVID, I didn't hug them, and then they're gone. They're gone. I can't hug them again. You see? And something, it sounds very simple, but it's something, because that person wanted me to hug them too, but I refused. You see what I mean? Now I don't have the chance to hug them at all. Okay? So let me just read this for a minute. The study identifies spirituality to be helpful, right? And I agree, it's supposed to be helpful. It's supposed to be a helpful resource for dealing with various types of trauma experiences. And that's the truth. That's why I said people got to work with their head, cool themselves down. You know, I've been doing it. I've been working with my head, with cooling myself down, because if I ask, like, my upbringing, where even if you go there right now, you cannot stay for a week and don't come back using curse words in a normal sentence. Okay? That's how much they curse. And it's not like the cursing is like they're mad at something. It's just normal vocabulary. Okay? And I make jokes about it all the time. Like, you're walking down the street, right? And there are a group of people there, and you mumble salutation, like, good morning, good afternoon. But somebody in the group didn't hear you. They're going to be like, well, good effing morning to you. Like you didn't say nothing because you were mumbling. And they didn't hear you, and they thinking you passing them without saying anything, without showing them any respect. There go that word again, respect, right? Without showing them any respect, and then, you know, and then you, the person, cannot get offended that they speak to you like that, and you then say, well, I said good morning. Or the person might say back to them, well, good effing morning. I'm sorry you didn't hear me. You know, but it's no biggie. It's no biggie, you know? But because in the context of what that situation happened, it was okay to speak like that. But you ain't going to speak out of context. That's a problem. That's a problem. So anyway, the short article says that studies have identified spirituality to be a helpful resource for dealing with various types of trauma experiences. This coincides with a heightened focus on the role of spirituality within the trauma-related theory, like spiritual coping, meaning-making, post-traumatic growth, you know? Little remains known about the relationship between trauma and spirituality among people with severe psychiatric disorders. You know, and I mean, we could say that our Ifa Orisha people have things severely because, especially the initiates I'm talking about, because Ifa makes you more of who you are. Meanwhile, a high percentage of those with psychiatric disabilities are known to have trauma histories, whereas a majority of self-identified as spiritual, listen to this, a majority of self-identified, and I know you have a point you want to bring up about that. like the self, people who say they're self-initiated. Anyway, whereas the majority of self identify as spiritual and or religious methods are used, right? So now, two
right.
cases, they're saying that they use two cases from a hermeneutic phenomenological qualitative study of people with co-occurring psychiatric disabilities and trauma history. That's what they highlight. Mm-hmm. So the themes related to the trauma and the spirituality are discussed in depth, and the results came out like this. Study participants drew upon a variety of spiritual coping strategies, i.e. prayer, meditation, spiritual readings, okay, to help deal with the trauma experience. Participants additionally experienced spiritual struggle. A detailed account is given as a participant who was able to work through such struggles by shifting to a less blaming spiritual worldview. Example, like how we have. We, Olodumare don't really punish us, like how in the Christian sense. So they shift from believing in a punishing God, right, to viewing mm-hmm. oneself as of a oneness with humanity. And this is the same thing I want to bring back in my point I was making in saying and doing things out of context when it comes to the Orisha. The Orisha don't belong to any one person. If we're all in the tradition, the Orishas are belonging to us, right?
Right.
Yeah. The Orishas belong to us, not to an individual, okay? Even when the Orisha ascribed a father or a mother, right?
Right.
Even then, that Orisha interacts with so many other people, the same one that's your father and your mother. You know what I mean? You know? So, and then my point is
my point.
That, that now here, this respect, so the respect part now. So you're mm-hmm. a priest of Ogun, or you're a priest of Shango, right? And
right.
I start cussing you out, and you a priest of Shango, you know, I am like, I'm sending those curses at Shango too. Because you're a priest of Shango. You understand what I'm trying
to
say?
Comes.
Yeah, I don't need to be cursing you. You know? Fire can boil water, but it can't make it disappear. Not in the ocean, not in a river.
True.
You know what I mean? And water can outfire. So anyway, so the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, the universality of spirituality in itself, any spiritual system or tradition that you're in, okay? So they're saying now that, so they shift from believing in a punishing God to the viewing of oneself as part of one of the oneness in humanity, right? And the study mm-hmm. also examined the meaning-making process and shows how concepts such as global and appraised meaning-making are applicable to people with psychiatric disabilities. Finally, people want to be, they want to be together. They want togetherness, not the clannishness, and this is my thing, and this is my thing that people, you know, that I see exhibited all the time in the different Orisha communities, you know? It's not that at all, you see? So I don't know, but the people got to strive for recovery, you know, to get it right, you know? And I'll give you the floor, Will. I'll give you the floor.
You said a lot with that. I don't know where to, but I'll say this.
I got a hand raised. Let me let the person with the hand raised interject. Area code 203. You're on the air.
I'm just listening. Yeah.
Ashe.
You know what I mean? I'm just listening right now. You're just listening right now. Yeah. I just came online.
Okay. Thank you. Can you see me on the live?
I can hear you. But
Okay. Because I'm live on Facebook, but I don't know what's going on there. You know, it's always a technical issue for me. But okay. So if I'd like to leave your line open, but I don't want to disturb anything else. Or you want me,
if you have a question.
All right. So, Will, you have the floor there.
Sure. So you mentioned a couple of things. I'm going to go back to the point of, I guess you were saying, the infighting amongst certain people in the community, feeling that the Orishas belong to them as opposed to other people. So I've always said this, like, don't make assumptions in Ifa or even in the Congo traditions, thinking that you're the only one with a pot. There are many people that I know who, I don't know, they feel like they're the only person that has Shango or the only person that has Ogun. And I'm like, you better be careful with that, especially when you launch unprovoked hits, because that person might have Shango and something else, and you might get your ass handed to you. And then if that happens, you really only have yourself to blame. Let me just say that as my disclaimer. So you have to adopt that Iwapuele, as you said, that good character, and you have to make sure that you're justified. Defense is one thing, but when you're launching offensive strikes, that's something else. Now, this leads me to my second point about perceived threats, right? When somebody is mentally ill, their ability to distinguish between what's real and what's not real is much more skewed. So events can happen to them, but it'll be out of sequence. It'll be like Yeye said something, and they may interpret or infer that as Yeye was saying that they were nothing and blah, 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 blah. They got pieces of the argument correct. Yeye did say something, but nothing was directed at them. How they took it is literally how they took it. And when somebody is not stable, this is why this becomes problematic. And I have seen this. You've probably seen this. We both could probably do a Tales from the Mat where we see Babalaos or Ian Ifas feel like someone's attacking them, and then they go on these preemptive strikes, and it doesn't quite work out how they think it does.
Well, I get that a lot, you know. I get that a lot,
again.
You know. I just had somebody tell me some friend that I didn't even know the name of the person that they called, this friend of mine did something similar to what I'm doing, and I'm saying no. And I'm like, no.
Again,
you know,
people's
so
perception of what they think, you got it. Like, they're thinking one thing and you're thinking half the time you're not even probably thinking about them, but in their mind is something else. And when this goes unfettered or unchecked, where we don't have a system in place where this is out in the open, that can become problematic. Because if I'm, I will just use this example. If I'm a Shango child, shout out to Shango. If I'm a Shango child and I feel like somebody has attacked me and I don't even have the dialogue or discourse with them, I'm just going into attack mode, doing A, B, and C, working on Feather, and without even giving that person a chance to respond, without even knowing if it's real. That is insane. Now, if you had a mechanism where I could talk to Babalaos,
exactly,
I'm sorry?
And sometimes people get intimidated by somebody that haven't even, like, they're not even thinking this, like, you know, you and them didn't have anything, but they feel intimidated by your presence for some reason. You see?
Yeah, and again, that's not your problem. That's not my problem. That is their problem. But it does speak to a problem in the community as a whole, because, again, who checks that? And there's been a lot of behaviors. There's been a lot of just, as we said, dysfunction that just goes on. I would throw in one more caveat, but I'm not going to go there right now. But I do want to address that racism aspect, especially often between some of our white Latino brethren and us, because that is real. But for right now, we'll just keep it within you from the community as it relates to us as a people and how we treat each other, how we relate, and even how we treat Orishas. I mean, here's the thing, and this is where mental illness can become problematic, right? If I feel like something is real and I'm like, so-and-so, you know, I have a problem with, but I credit that to the Orisha. Like I say, I had some dream and I'm like, yay, yay, you know, did A, B, and C against me, so I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. And Shango told me, or Ogun told me, or Shun told me, you sure about that? And this is where divination and reading become important. You sure you didn't infer that from, you know, Never Never Land or wherever you pulled that from? There's a lot of that. Where people talk and they say the Orisha gave them a message.
Yeah, because even, you know, in this very last tongue lashing that I got, and that's why I could say it was a tongue lashing, you know, riddled with curse words too, and you know what? Like, oh my God, you know, and this last tongue lashing I got, it was over at something in that context where something was said blanketly in a group, and then it turned into you're attacking me or you're talking effery, you know, because you're discussing what our Elay is doing from what our Elay is not supposed to do. And you're just, because, you know, when it said blanket, you would figure that if it said blanketly, then you would figure that it's, mm-hmm. whoever hears it is addressed to you. Is addressed right. to you if you understand me. And that's the way I took it, as part of the group. So, of course, I put my input. You know, I said, like, you know, can you explain that more? Because somebody might do something that is out of context with the Orisha, with how mm-hmm. we deal with the Orisha. And if you're in this tradition, you got to know how we deal with the Orisha. Why are you in it? You don't even know how the Orisha are dealt with. You see what I mean? So then...
Right.
So everybody would know. And then it turned into outright hostility based on something somebody else did that seemed like I was doing the same thing. I'm like, oh, my God. You know? So, and like I said, when these things happen to me of late, I mean, over the years, I've seen myself handle this type of aggressive, hostile way that my brothers and sisters in the traditions come at me, and I'm like, and I am like, listen, they must think I don't know any curse words. They must think I am a chump. They must think, no, like, you know, because I don't entertain them. This last one, I just had it like, listen, I put up a flag, I surrender. That was it. And that was the end of that. You know, I made it my business to block them because I don't want nothing further to say or any further interaction with them at all. And, you know, because ain't nothing I could say to explain that, listen, I'm not attacking you. Why are you attacking me? You know what I mean? So, you know, so things like that is a big problem. So now let me switch it over a little positively, because we're trying to get people to understand that, I mean, and for a long time, I looked at the word Iwapwele as like being kind of chumpish because of things like this. When people come at you, yeah, and people come at you like in this negative way, and you just like, oh, man, you know, and just be, you know, you just like, oh, no, I ain't got nothing to say. You know what I mean? And for a long time, I thought it was like being like you're chomping out, you know, you're feeling people just say anything and do anything. But I came to a different kind of reality when I realized that everything, I could just place everything in the hands of the Orisha, not even doing anything, meaning like I'm going to take the person's name to the Orisha, blah, 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 blah. No. I let the Orisha handle it. Okay? Let me get some water. I let the Orisha handle it. Mm-hmm.
That comes from trust and understanding.
If I do say a prayer, because in my own personal interaction with Orisha, because sometimes when things like that happen, I go and read on it to find out, well, why did that happen? And if there's any Ebo for me to do, and I go on to do the Ebo. But in the prayer that I do the Ebo, I say, listen, Baba, Iya, whichever Orisha I'm dealing with, I say, whatever the person wants from me, give it back to them tenfold. Just give it right back to them.
Powerful.
I don't know what they want from me, but whatever they want for me, give it to them first. And I leave it at that. I don't go and do anything, you know, like try to hurt anybody or becoming, you know, get engaged in a war with them or anything. I just pray that Orisha take whatever it is that they're trying to give to me, you know, and give it back to them. So hopefully they're giving me something good so they could get tenfold of the goodness they're giving me. That's
right.
The way I handle it now. I don't, you know, try to engage people with the back and forth stuff. You know, I had enough of that in the fraud page wars on Facebook, which took many years for me to realize, Melva, just put it in the hands of the Orisha. Put it in the hands. Orisha themselves had to tell me in a reading, listen, let us handle it for you. Because I was doing whatever I had to do other than that, you know. And then this is how it goes. You know, this is how it goes. But that comes from a level of not understanding to bring, you know, to control all those forces that you have walking with you, all your ancestral energy that, you know, that they have enough aggressive energy to, like, last how many lifetimes. Because look how far they've come. We've come from even the advent of slavery, right? How many hundreds of years. And we still carry around those soul feelings, those traumatic experiences, and we haven't processed them in a way that we're able to deal with them differently and come out victorious, you know, with ourselves and help appease their spirits too. You see? We haven't come to that part yet. Many of us, you know? You see? Yeah, and that's why it's good not to jump right into becoming initiated to the Orisha. I'm not saying people shouldn't get initiated, but, you know, go step by step and learn about the Orisha before you get initiated to the Orisha. Because if you initiate it, like, you know, you initiate it and your head is like way, 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 way gone. Okay, you know, you're a hot MF. Let me just say that. You know, you're a hot MF. And you're going to be an MF on wheel, in a jet. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we used to talk about this. It's like having a license to drive, right? If you're given certain powers when you're in a particular space in your life where you don't know how to counterbalance, where you don't know how to be cool, and you're just responding and you're hot-headed, then the punishment for everything is going to be extreme, right? Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Punishment is death. Somebody, I'm saying this as an extreme, but that is the extreme. This is how people can think, which is why you have to kind of level set. You have to build, and you got to learn. And you, what you said earlier kind of troubled me when you said people not taking correction from an elder. How do you get better? Even if you don't, you know, even if you don't apply it, if you hear it and you listen and you study the argument and then you make the decision to be like, okay, this will work or this won't work, that's a better alternative than just this person's trying to whatever and it's my way or the highway and off with their heads. Again, we can't progress when that is the end game.
That's my point right there with that, this very last confrontation and, you know, whatever, confronting aggression hostility I that was directed at me, you know. And you know, I'm like, it totally missed the point, because it was a call for help from the collective, right?
Right.
From, you know, the collective of the leader of the group. But then somebody who was a soldier in the group, I have to say it like that, they felt that maybe I was coming to usurp their position because I was just giving advice. And other people were chiming in because we started talking about defense systems that is used, where different people in different groups use when there is, when they know there is an absolute war. And I like to mention it. I'm not going to mention any names, but
right.
The call for help was against, and this is for the entire Ifa Orisha community, both, you know, just worldwide, that there is religious prosecution against the practitioners in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big thing because, you know, people have been murdered, people have been, you know, shrines have been broken down, people have been beaten up, people have been raped. You understand? By so-called Christian advocates or whatever. And, you know, and, you know, some it's a legal thing that's in the courts, right? Right? But,
right.
And, you know, and so there was a call for help in that context because it hit home for one of the people or a couple of the people or family that's involved in that. Okay, and so if they were under attack, and so now the whole thing came out about, you know, cleaning the Orishas, and then the conversation took off from there into getting, you know, getting aggressive and getting territorial and getting clannish and all of these type of things. When that issue is a global issue for us in the tradition, whether you're Lukumi, Shango Baptist, Candomblé, whatever you are, and you're dealing with the Orisha, right? That is a problem if our brothers and sisters can't do as they please, you know? But I noticed, like, in Brazil, if they display the Orisha in the carnival costume, that's okay. But then the worshiping part, the adhering part, is the issue, is the problem. You see? So, you know, so that's, so whereas there could have been, you know, the people could have gotten more support on, you know, how to do protective things, how to, you know, how to engage in a war if you have to fight back with the help of the Orisha, then they were one less because I just withdraw myself from them.
Huh. So
yeah, it was my
persecution. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's,
yeah.
I personally feel like anything that's not one of the major religions is always under attack. So, but keeping it on the on this frequency, we're talking about Ifa. I mean, the same can be said even for Ifa in Africa, in Nigeria in particular, because I'm used to that. I can speak to that. Or whether we talk about, I mean, you've seen the attack in recent years on people who are deemed witches, right, where they were killing little kids. I think I once sent you this, right? Like, this was shortly after I went to Nigeria for the first time. I was showing you how basically children were basically being accused of bringing misfortune and being witches and being Ifa, whatever, and they were killed, largely by Christians. So this phenomenon is happening everywhere. You were right to point out proper care for, you know, your icons. I mean, that's critical. And you have to give education because there's not – first of all, there's not as much dialogue as people think that occurs on how we should act, what our character should be, how we should treat our icons, how we should treat our... Most of that is localized. And what I mean by localized is that basically comes from the house that you're in, right? The Ile. and your ELA in many respects is kind of self-autonomous. It's a fight for self. It's singular. It's not really connected with this community as a whole. We don't really have that. Maybe on a festival level, something, you know, like on the surface, but in terms of how we govern, that's, you know, it's self-regulated. So I don't know how we get to that point of kind of cleansing that top heavy, like meaning from the top, because so much of what we do is independent of each other. The only way that we kind of move towards that is conversation, is letting people in, and coming up with a common code of conduct. So I'm with you. I'm with you on that. As it relates, again, to this mental illness, what you described to me kind of sounds like both mental illness and just pettiness. It's certain things that we're supposed to be above when we call ourselves so-called spiritual people. Now, granted, I know that folks are human. Yeah, I know we're human and we make mistakes and all of that, but some stuff, it's really not that deep. Somebody giving me correction when I'm wrong, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I can't get to the best or highest part of myself if I don't have people that hold me accountable. And that's the other piece that goes with this, right? When you have to do any kind of self diagnostic where you have to look at your flaws and you have to accept them and you have to correct them, that's a painful process for most people. Most people will avoid that by all costs, even if it means being delusional, even if it means recreating a version of how they think that people see them or how they think they see themselves. And that is the mental illness that we're talking about, but it doesn't move us towards the goalpost. It just keeps you stagnant. To get better, you have to have people who are really better than you, challenging you, making you think critically, and moving on to the next thing. It can't be staying stagnant, having pieces of the Orisha, having pieces of Odu, having pieces of even the language and thinking that you're saying something. That's not how this works. Now, I'll use some personal examples just in terms of me, just to bring it home. Mental illness is something that I'm extremely passionate about because it's something that I've experienced all along. Like, I've had family members that are mentally ill, close family members that are mentally ill, so I understand the frustration of how to deal with them. I understand how they talk, how they engage, and I understand sometimes how that makes us feel and how we respond. So for you, right, and this is the other piece of the argument, if somebody is coming at you crazy, right, the natural response is to meet threat for threat. They come at you crazy, so I'm going to come at you crazy too. You curse at me, I'm going to curse at you. You whatever, like, it's levels to it. Gauge mm-hmm. for gauge. Threat level yes, for threat level.
That's the truth, but this is what I'm trying to say. When you're, you know, everything has a place and a time because you're not in your neck of the woods. You understand? You're on the world stage, especially on someplace like Facebook. You're on the world stage, and then you're going to be, you know, engaging in this, like, entertainment thing when you're talking about something as serious as the topic that, you know, that was at hand. So you're now deviating from the context, you know, the place that you're supposed to be and what everything initially was about. You deviate and you go there, you go somewhere else with it. You see what I mean? And then you take it totally out of context now, and you start acting, you know, taking your energy away from what you were there for in the first place. Okay.
But what you say points to somebody how they feel, and what I'm getting at with the other part, I'm not saying I disagree because I totally agree. What I'm saying, though, is that you don't move beyond that until you start to account it. It's like this. I could be right, and I'm not saying that I am, but I'm like, let's just say that I'm right. But there's also a possibility on some things that I'm wrong. If I can't accept, if there is no governing mechanism, right, to get me to when I'm wrong, acknowledging that I'm wrong, there has to be somebody that can step to me to be like, yo, maybe you should look at it like this. And if your Orishas are telling you, and now I'm jumping ahead, if your Orishas are telling you that you're out of character, and they do, people often ignore when your Orishas don't co-sign on whatever fuckery they got going on, what then? If I'm a Babalao and I have influence and I have people that are watching me on a world stage and I think that it's okay to basically curse out an Ia, you know, on the world stage, what then? Nobody in that house can challenge that? Nobody can be like, yo, if there's a right way and a wrong way to handle it, you're looking hella crazy. You're making, you know, our religion look crazy or our way of life look crazy. You're making our house look crazy. Perhaps you're making it look crazy because you are crazy. It's not an option. It is what it is.
Then, you see? You know, and I understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying that some people, you know, need to realize that they are, you know, they're in this space, in this place they're not supposed to be, you know, in their heads. You see?
Again, who checks that? You tried to check it, and you see what happened. You were met with resistance, and then one of the warriors or one of the, I'll be kind, one of the warriors came at you sideways and implicated themselves in a fight that they weren't even involved in when their leader or their general was wrong.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if the general was wrong or the surgeon that was carrying out the orders was wrong. Because basically they don't need me to say anything to them because they already got instruction from their general. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
And I just use that. Yeah, I just use that as an example just to keep it consistent to what we were talking about. Like, I hope you understand the humor, y'all, on the line. We can't say
audience,
everything, but yeah.
You're listening to True Talks with Ofeofe, and we're live on Block Talk Radio, and maybe we're live on Facebook. I don't know, because I don't know how to operate this new thing they got going here. I got to sit down and check it out. But anyway, so we're on here, and we're talking about mental illness being a Ifa and Orisha community problem, and that's the truth. Because we are seeing it, because Ifa makes you more of who you are. You know what I mean? Ifa really unleashes your spirit and your identity. Ifa augments everything. You know, so if you're great, Ifa's gonna make you even more great. You know, you're gonna shine like a diamond, bright like a diamond. You know, but if you're like nasty, you know, that's one of the words the lady was using, nasty, dirty. Oh my God.
Nice.
Anyway, I'm like nasty, dirty. That sounds like the people who are prosecuting the other people. That don't sound like me.
Again.
Anyway, that's part of the issue. So now, let me just say a little positive things about spirituality, okay? Because and the impact spirituality has on mental health, right? Spirituality influences many decisions that people make. We know that because we go and ask Ifa if we should do this or that, if it would be good for that, this or that. And then we follow it up. If I say yes or no, then we follow it up with Ebo, meaning we take the appropriate step to either make the thing happen or make it not happen. So it encourages people to have better relationships with themselves, right, with others, yes, and the unknown, yes. Spirituality can help you deal with stress by giving you a sense of peace, purpose, and forgiveness. It often becomes more important in times of emotional stress or illness. So we have positive impacts of spirituality, and there are several ways that spirituality can support your mental health. You may feel a higher sense of purpose, peace, hope, and meaning. You may experience better confidence, self-esteem, and self-control. It can help you make sense of your experiences in life. When unwell, it can help you feel inner strength and result in faster recovery. Those in the spiritual community may have more support. You hear that? You may work at better relationships with yourself and So many people with a mental illness get a sense of hope by taking, talking with a religious or spiritual leader. Some mental illnesses can be seen at times when people question their value or purpose in a way that leaves them feeling pessimistic. It can be extremely helpful to include spirituality and treatment of mental health difficulties. And we're seeing a lot of that now, because remember I said earlier, before time, you could not say, you know, you talking to the Orisha, you talk to your ancestors. They will put you, they will diagnose you quick, they will call you. I mean, they got many types of diagnosis before they say, oh no, they're having some kind of bipolar disorder. Maybe, you know, they're having some kind of schizophrenia, you know, they're obsessive compulsive, you know, they got hold of, you know, oh no, they experience post-traumatic stress. You know what I mean? So they quickly diagnose you. And you know, and you'll be there, oh my God, you know, and then next thing you know, they tell me to take pills. So anyway, negative impacts of spirituality. Okay. Right? Negative impacts of spirituality. Some people may take advantage of emotionally vulnerable people while pretending to support their spirituality. If, I have one of my omos, is having a problem like that right now with some so-called family members. So if you're emotionally vulnerable, you can be more easily convinced to take part in the unhealthy activity, right? So when to see a doctor. Yeah. It may feel strange talking with a doctor about spiritual topics, but if your spiritual beliefs are affecting your mental state, you should talk with your doctor about it. Seek a professional's advice if you have worries or are feeling stressed due to your spirituality. And, but let me hit on that for a minute, because in our tradition, you know, we have these people that, you know, they say they're self-initiative, and there are other people that are pushing these things, you know. People, they're pushing self-initiation, you know, and you know, saying that the Orisha initiated them themselves, and you know, they went in the sun and met Oshun and got initiated by her directly. You know, I've heard it all, you know, and there are two advocates I know that are on Facebook that do that. That, you know, they have a group for self-initiates only, you know. And, I mean, they've done a lot of things. Like, you know, they've studied the Ifa Oracle to some degree. You know, I mean, you know, you can write, anybody can write. You know, and study, you know, copy and paste or whatever. And they've studied it to some degree and then say, well, okay, you don't have to spend money to do anything. You could just sing, you know. So I'd like to give myself a doctorate degree. I'd like, I wouldn't even stop at one if I could just like get like, you know, How many ever doctor? Yes, I'm a doctor of this, doctor of that, and doctor of that. You know, like when I put, some idiot hit on me, and I don't even want to call him an idiot, but they hit on me when they were trying to criticize me because I have PhD, which meaning I said I'm a PhD, all caps. not a P-H, small D, right? Not a P-H and a small D, right? No.
Right.
P-H-D, priest, healer, diviner. That's, and I put it there, priest, healer, diviner. They said, talking about, where you get your PhD from? I'm like,
the University of the Sky, University of Utah.
Yeah, that, anyway, the, so they telling people, if you feel like you having problems with your spirituality, and then next thing you know, these people, spirituality isn't the end that they're having problems with spirituality. Spirituality is their illness.
Spirituality is the illness.
If you're telling me that, you know, you went in the sun and stuff, you know, and so nobody can tell you that you're not initiated to an Orisha because, you know, the Orisha initiate yourself, I think something is wrong with you, you know?
No, something is wrong with you. Right.
Yeah, you know, that just like, you know, me, you know, the Orisha telling me, oh, you know, my name is, my Ocha name is Lade Orun, you know, which loosely translates the crowned in heaven, right?
In heaven.
Crowned in heaven. So then now I'm going to come here, no, I'm a queen, wearing a crown everywhere. I'm a queen, even though I got a dress to say queen. Even though I named my daughter Queen long before I got initiated. You understand? But the thing about it is, you know, so you go and you okay, now you're like, okay. Then you go get initiated that, ooh, you really know you're a queen then, buddy, right? Anyway, so it focuses here now, the spirituality treatment, the treatment, spirituality and treatment of mental health conditions. So what they're saying, they focus on key areas are acceptance, right? Hope, achieving meaning and purpose, and forgiveness. This forgiveness part, I'm not quite with it. Because in Ifa, you know, what we...
No, I got issues with forgiving people when they wrong me.
Yeah,
so I'll be
that forgiveness part, I'm too much with it. Because I came even in the Christian context, right?
Right.
To me, being a Christian and then talking about, you know, I ask God to forgive me, or God, please forgive me, that gives you the leeway to do the whole thing over again. You can do it again and again. You can do it. You can do something wrong. You can sin up to the day you die, you're getting ready to die, and if you just say, God, forgive me, you're going to heaven just like that. Oh, please.
True.
That answer is waiting there to give you a good, proper ass whooping. That's what you're going to get. Right? So I'm just saying, you know, this forgiveness thing, who are you forgiving? Yourself? Who are you forgiving? Anyway, this
forgiving
type of therapy,
people who oppress us and not each other, but go ahead.
You know, I mean, you're not even forgiving the person who did juju to you. How are you going to forgive? What are you going to forgive? Oh, I did juju back to them because they did juju to me. You know? So anyway, this type of therapy examines unavoidable parts of our lives, such as birth and death, you know? It then looks at ways that you may confronting these issues unavoidably as part of your life. You have to confront that, hey, listen, you were born. How do you get born? And all these things are done with Ifa and Orisha. All of these things, Ifa prepares you, tells you about your birth, Ifa tells you about your death, because we know that's inevitable for everybody, but, you know, a lot of people are scared of that. The main techniques used during this process are called empathetic listening, encouragement of emotional expression. Okay, you see, this stuff I'm learning, and I'm going to say that, because I'm not too much open to adults pretending that like they're babies and don't know stuff. Like you don't know what is right from wrong. So this emotional encouragement of emotional expression. So you start crying like a baby, but Tia, blah, 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 blah. No. Did you do the Ebo, yes or no? Did you follow the instruction of the Orisha, yes or no? You know, ain't no button.
And it's probably no.
And then the next one is problem solving, and then use of meditation, prayer, rituals, and monitoring effects of belief on symptoms. Okay, like what you believe gonna happen. Like if you believe the Orisha gonna whoop that, you know what? You know what? Yeah, because a lot of them don't seem to think so. They stand up, you got Oshun crown on your head, the other one got Shango crown on their head, and then they engage in a minefield of curses at each other. Oh my God, why? You say you're the parents and you just sitting down there shaking your head. You're the coach, right? Not the parents, but the coach. And you sitting down there shaking your head talking about, oh my God, that's not what I taught her. You know? I think you shouldn't do that. Why are you doing that? You see what I mean? So that's the
but
thing.
But this goes to your point on why people...
Say that again?
No, I was like, this goes to your point about why with self-initiation and all of that, to think that you're going to bypass thousands of years of education and tradition and you can do it all on your own, problematic. There are lessons to be learned when you don't get proper instruction. And this is my whole point, right, about why it becomes dangerous when we're following the leadership of people who don't have those proper mechanisms and they're mentally ill. But go ahead.
You made a point earlier about, you know, somebody blanket, you know, when people blanketly make statements concerning the Orisha and you're trying to clarify it. I mean, come on now. Okay, so I should follow you off the cliff? You said.
But No, you were talking, you had just said a point about people not knowing right from wrong. Sometimes people do blindly follow folks, right? And you or I may not do that, but there are people who are like, they're not going to, you know, this person told me so-and-so, so it must be coming from Olodumare himself. I have seen people, you've probably seen people where literally they think that they're the Orisha. I am the Orisha. I'm like, wow, you the Orisha?
Yeah.
You're not,
yeah. Oh,
wow,
yeah, buddy.
I got to go through you? Like, who the hell are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen that, too. And, you know, I'm very taken aback by the disunity and also the clannishness of the different Orisha houses, what we call Ilays or the Egg Days, whichever one they want to call their society. And, you know... especially when it comes to something of as serious as, you know, being our way of life being under attack. Okay? You guys, you've been listening to Truth Us with Ofe Ofe, and I have my special guest here with us, Will. If you have a question, you can raise your hand. Okay. I got somebody got their hand raised, area code 201, area code 201, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Ofe Ofe, this is Jackie.
How are you, Jackie?
I'm fine. I haven't spoken to you in a while, and I've been trying to catch your show.
How are the you
longest.
Mm-hmm.
One day at a time, I'm still working on myself and self-healing.
I should.
Trying to find my place in a more quieter, calmer place so that I can hear from my ancestors and be properly guided without being distracted by everything that's constantly going on.
Yeah.
I feel I'm in a better place.
You see, what we're talking about now is, you know, how that things, the different different things that are happening to us can cause us to become mentally ill, to become ill.
Exactly.
Because then, And
because dis-ease.
And ways that we handle such and such in our way of life is through working with Orisha, getting spiritual readings, doing certain rituals when the rituals come through, prayers, getting certain icons that are not necessary for your, you don't have to get initiated to get, you know, like, for instance, your icon. You don't have to be initiated to get your ancestral staff. You don't have to be initiated fully to get your warriors or Eshu. You don't have, you know, any, these are rituals that you can get. You understand? You don't have to be initiated to even get the protective bracelet of Ifa. You understand? You don't have to be initiated to insert a whole bunch of things. You don't have to become a priest to have these things, but you can have them in your life. You can get them in your life to help you on with your issue, you know?
Yes.
Whatever issues you're having.
I'm looking for a stick and certain things that I have, that I want to do, and I am going to do it. It's been a slow journey, but I'm looking for a stick, and I'm looking for one, like you said, I have to personalize it for me. And I know when I see it, I'll know it.
Okay. You know, let me say something to you about this stick. Right? There is a ritual ceremony that the stick goes through. From being fed with the ashe of blood, and blood, of course, you know, is the highest ashe ever because, okay, that's what gives us life. You don't have no blood there, right? Okay.
Right.
So it goes through the the consecration ceremony, and it gets dressed initially with colors that represent the ancestors, period, globally. Okay, meaning our spectrum of colors globally. So we use 9 colors to represent them because that's the number that they work with. So when it's dressed now, then the person does a welcoming ceremony in their home, calling their ancestors and welcoming them, thanking them for being with them and everything. And this consists of food and drinks, right? Particularly 9 plates of food and 9 different drinks, okay? And, of course, after that now, once that ceremony gets done and you have your stick, right, over time you dress, because then your ancestors are going to really start communicating with you. And if they want something on that stick, they'll tell you. Like if they want extra bells, if they want mirrors, if they want a piece of something that's only unique to them, even a piece of cloth that is unique to them, all of these things, then you begin to add these things. If they want feathers, if they want, you know, all of these things. And that's very important, but what we're trying to stress here is the unity and the camaraderie and the strength of everybody that came before you in terms of the traditions, the African traditions that we practice and that we use, the type of spirituality that we work with in order to get better, for our lives to get better, you know? And I'll be like, you know, one of the Christians, I'll be testifying. I testify, okay? How the Orisha do me, and I thank them every single day at noon for their blessings in my life and the lives of my children and the lives of the people who I touch, the people who come to me to on their journey with Orisha. So whereas it might not be because, you know, a lot of people wrestle still with Christianity, they wrestle with, you know, whatever other religion they want to do, they wrestle with being an atheist and working with the Orishas, you know? So even those things, they wrestle with spirit denominations of other denominations because when we talk about spirituality and mental illness, there's a lot of information out there about demons, possession and all these things, and they call that spirituality, you know, that engagement with the demons. Okay? And we don't play that. We have entities in Ifa. We don't have demons in Ifa. We have entities, and everybody have a job, you know, something to do, but specialize in something. So that's part of what we do. So, you know, and you know I don't force nobody to do nothing, you know. So that's why I'm saying I know we've been talking a long time, some years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you see, and it only when you are, you know, if you follow and do, like if you get a reading, there's a prescription and you do what the prescription says, right? Then you can expect some results. But if you don't do anything, if you don't take that one simple step at the very beginning, you don't take that simple step, then, you know, things remain the same. Okay?
Yes.
So I'm going to call you aside from the show, okay?
Yes, because I would like to talk to you. I'll continue to listen.
Ashe,
thank
you
so much. Love you. Ashe.
Okay, all right. Good to hear your voice, though. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, Mama. I'm going to mute and put.
I'm sorry. Okay, so we're back, and you know, we have a half an hour counting down, you know, to our program. But this topic is always going to be a hot topic. I mean, you know, we had increase in cases of mental illness since the COVID. Like I said, many of us, you know, suffered a lot and are still suffering. We have things that we're, you know, uptight about and all of these things. And, you know, we should start some kind of help for these things, you know? You know, try to get ourselves in a happy place, in a state where, you know, you're with other people. Because now, I mean, people are yearning and longing to do group things, you know, to be around other people without feeling like, oh, they're going to catch a case of COVID and drop down. So, you know, you have a lot of people doing traveling now that they can and, you know, meeting with family and friends and, you know, just doing things together. And I think, you know, in our Ifa and Orisha communities, these are some of the things that we should be doing too, you know, instead of, you know, being territorial, you know. Okay, so the people are recommending here, and this is from WebMD. I love WebMD. WebMD is saying, improving spiritual health. As you take measures to support a healthy mental state, it's important to make sure you also take care of your spiritual health. Your mind and your spirit, there's two different things, okay? So some people have their mind telling them, right? Go do this, and they don't go and verify it with the Orisha, especially if it's something that you're involving other people, you're asking other people to do, right? But you haven't verified it with your Orisha. You haven't read on it to see if it's the right thing to do. No, it's just because it's been coming to you for days, that you, oh, do this, and then you're going to just jump up and do it, or blanketly say you're going to do it. I don't know. Anyway, So there's different approaches that people use, because we know that people work differently. And I understand that very much, but never be close to suggestions. Never be close, don't, you know, always leave yourself open for suggestions, because somebody know how to do something better than you. Somebody know how to do something maybe easier than you. Somebody know how to do something faster than you. You know, it's always something. So you should do what makes you most comfortable, though, in the end. Do whatever makes you happy. You don't have to be mad with somebody else in order for you to feel happy. Okay? Some ideas to improve your spiritual health include: find out what makes you feel peaceful. Okay? Love, strong, and connected. Dedicate part of your day doing community service, trying to help somebody else. Read inspirational books. Try to meditate. Take a walk outdoors. Pray alone or with a group. You can even practice yoga. Play your favorite sport, whatever it is, you know. Dedicate quiet time to yourself. You know, do things for your Orisha, right? Okay, your mental health and your spiritual health, you should get an assessment of that. Like, you know, how are you feeling about certain things? Like, you know, what you're doing, you know, like I just did a mini assessment of the way that I want to interact with the Orishas that I have. Not just the Orishas, I have different deities from different systems. And I want to interact with them in a community way, meaning, well, you know, like how we have festivals. You know, I have already have my Oshun festival that I do. I have my festival for the Palo that I have for Mama Chola, and I have one coming up in December for Lucero. But I have other deities that I would like to do, you know, celebrate. Not by myself, but with other people. And, you know, so I, you know, so I've done that, and that would make me feel even more good, because it's something that I want to see, something that gives me fulfillment, something that I know would give other people joy too. And, you know, it's not something that you got to spend a whole heap of money to do either. You see what I mean? So you understand, you got to understand the difference between your spirit, like having a spiritual void, or whether you're in an actual crisis because something else is going on. You know, aside from being, there are other ways to interact with the Orisha other than when you're in a crisis, because that's what most people do, is like, oh, it's a war, you know, hey, this one offend me, I'm going to tell so-and-so Orisha, I'm going to put their name down a piece of paper and burn it, and I'm going to blah, 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 you know? And there are other ways, you know, to interact with the Orisha other than when you are sick or when you have a crisis, okay? So where this is where divination comes in. You always got to go to the root of the problem before you, you know, execute anything. We always get divination first to find out, how should we handle this situation, especially that situation about the brothers and sisters in Brazil? Okay, you know, I know, you know, I can come off a little bit authoritative to some people, especially when I'm speaking my truth on my understanding of what Ifa and Orisha means to me and my experience, okay? But it's no offense to anyone. Either you agree or you agree to disagree, but that doesn't mean you have to become offensive. That doesn't mean you have to be disrespectful. That doesn't mean that we have to become enemies because you disagree with me. That don't mean that you have to word me off. you know, hurdle a bunch of curse words speaking to me, or do like how the people in the Caribbean do, throw words. You know, when you throw a word, you say what you got to say, but you don't, it's not, it's unimplied that it's at you, but it's really implied that it's you that they're talking to. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Uh-huh. Yeah. So let me see. There's one thing I want to say here. Okay. So, you know, I don't want to diagnose anybody. I'm not in a position to do that. You know, I studied, I got my master's in health and wellness psychology. And
mm-hmm.
health and wellness psychology, the majority of it is about basically what makes people feel good. That's the bottom line. What makes you feel good in your head? How to do things to make people feel good, you know? And some people, you know, they appreciate support, you know. I'm one of those persons. I appreciate support. I love support. And some people don't. Some people don't want you to help them anything because they figure it's just theirs. But that can border on some type of illness, you know, where there are fears, you know, you're scared that maybe the person's going to usurp your position, and, you know, you're scared that maybe they, you know, they're going to show out better than you because they probably know the thing better than you. You know, different types of things like that, I mean, can be issues, underlying issues that can lead to some type of mental illness, some type of disorder, you know? So people got to be very, try to be very open, especially in these times we're living in. You know, we're actually living in this spiritual age. So all of, you know, it's not like people don't feel things, but then some people feel more negative things more than they do the positive ones because they're always in offensive, defensive, in the offensive mode. Offensive meaning that they're going to get you before you get them, right?
Yeah.
That's offense, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? You know, so, you know, we got to get with the program, people. So, Will, you have any closing remarks? I mean, people... not too many people raising their hands to speak. Okay.
Closing. Just a couple of things.
People, if there's a question, a comment, you can raise your hand. I mean, whether it's, you know, for or against, you know, you can raise your hand, have your say. I ain't mad at you. I ain't going to be mad at you. I ain't going to, no. Don't come on cursing me out now because then I'm going to cut you off, right?
Right.
But other than that, you know, you can say your piece, whether you agree or disagree, if you found what we're talking about interesting or not interesting, okay? I'm with you. I'm right here. Okay, well.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I guess in closing, what I would say is if you do feel like you're experiencing mental illness, or if you just feel like you need another opinion, see what's going on, I do encourage people to seek out professionals. The only point, I guess, that I would say kind of cautioning against it is just very few people actually understand the dynamics of this, meaning like these ATRs that are, you know, board certified psychiatrists and or whatever. So it's a little bit, I feel conflicted, and I'll just share this because Mama, you know this, like, I wanted to be a physician. I am a scientist by training. I do a lot of this, so it's not just me speaking from what I feel. Like, I did at one point want to be a psychiatrist, thinking that I could, you know, save Black people and all of our mental health conditions, but I understand that the problem is much bigger than that, bigger than me. This is
right.
Why I put some of the onus on us and our elays to speak freely when we see a god brother, a god sister that we know is kind of teetering and saying things that are crazy and doing things that are just not ethical. We have to raise that. And we have to create a space where we can do that respectively, respectfully, without like calling somebody nuts and there's a right way and there's a wrong way with how you approach it. You approach it with sympathy, but you do check it. And that is my final thoughts on that. And if you are mentally ill, this is not an attack against you because, like I said, something like 33% of Americans that we know of have a mental illness diagnosis. It's probably much higher than that in these Ifa traditions, probably half, maybe 60-70%. And I'm not trying to be funny, but that's the long end and the short of it. I mean, this can make you crazy, which is why we have to talk about it. Like, you know, carrying people, especially if you're doing spiritual work for people and working with the Orishas to alleviate or to mitigate or to help people from many of the traumas, many of the issues that they have, it can impact you. So if you are a spiritual practitioner, understand that you have an obligation to check your mental health because of what you're dealing with. You're on the front line. You're a frontline worker. You're exposed. So you have to, basically share it with the appropriate people.
You're absolutely right. You know, even when I, me particularly, because, you know, I work with people, and even when I worked, I did crisis counseling when I worked in the system. I did crisis counseling, you know, going door to door, you know, home, visiting the home, in-home crisis counseling. And being a spiritual person, I also picked up a lot spiritually from just the environment, you know, from the issues and, you know, somebody being a medium, somebody who can even see spirit from the spirits that were around and, you know, all of these things. And I had to do, and thank God I was already involved in African spirituality through the system of Palo Mayombe. So I always did a lot of cleanings. I always clean myself often, whether it's a bath, actual, you know, doing what is called a rompimento, like tearing up the clothes and throwing it away and all of this stuff. And, you know, whether it's with an animal, whatever it is, I did these cleanings all the time because of, you know, getting all of these things. But I also, on my own, enlisted myself to get mental health counseling so I could help. It could help me and help me understand other people who have serious mental health issues. So I'm all for counseling. And right now I'm seeing, like you say, there are board certified counselors and everything that are on there. And sometimes it's very difficult to involve African spirituality in their modality because, you know, coming from the old paradigm, how they just thought that once you're into any kind of spirit, you're talking about any kind of spiritual thing or you're doing any spiritual thing, that something is wrong with you, that you're actually ill. You're actually ill because, like, you know, if you send in, Oramila said, and who is Oramila? Yeah, the Master Divine. Oramila said this, or this Orisha said that, or I dreamt of this Orisha, or my ancestors told me to do such and such. And then they're going to be like, okay. And it's not privy of, like, when you're doing counseling, to actually engage people on their religion or their spirit, you know, their denomination and all of these type of things, you know. But some counselors do that. If they're Christian, they start talking to you, have you spoken to Jesus? And I'm like, no, I don't believe in that. If you tell them that too, then that's a symptom. You see what I mean? That's a symptom. You tell them, I don't believe in that, that's a symptom. Something is wrong with you. You don't believe in Jesus, you know? And you see, right. So there's a need that we're identifying here, a need for more, whether it's more certified or even more research into African spiritualism and mental health. You know, the last episode I did was about mental illness in Nigeria. And if you think we have mental illness here, there is mental illness there, of course, and mental illness seen in a different type of way, because mental illness there could be like somebody put some juju on you. It doesn't necessarily
right.
have to be something that they would look at and say, oh, you have a cognitive problem. You know, you have something's wrong with your system, or, you know, your biological system. But they have different means of identifying mental illness. You know, they have Ray, you know, the mental illness when you're like, you know, you're somebody actually did something to you, you know? And they have mental illness that you inherit, you see? Mental illness that you pick up from interacting with a spirit that you weren't supposed to be playing around with, like when you go to my edge or soon initiate you in the sun. Next thing you know, you're burning, you know? Things like that.
Yep.
And so, you know, if we get more of our, but to me, in all honesty, Ifa priests are somewhat of a counselor, and they're certified, especially those who are well-trained and know what able to do, what medicines to give, because we do give medicine in Ifa, you know, and combined with Ebo, you know, rituals and things like that, prayers, the certain chants and everything, even words, the particular words, like how the Christians use the Psalms to, like, they can do a thing with them Psalms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They can pray for good for you, and they can pray for bad for you with them Psalms. You see? So all of that, you know, is the same. All of that is in Ifa. All of that is in Ifa Orisha practice, you know. But at the same time, while all of those things in Ifa Orisha practice, a lot of people don't experience the fullness of it, even the practitioners, because of our individual mindset, our clannishness, our separation, instead of looking at the global picture of what Ifa and Orisha means to us. That should be a seminar by itself, buddy. What does Ifa and Orisha mean to us globally? You know what I mean? And, you know, we don't have the camaraderie. You know, we even argue about, you know, who did something one way or the other, but, oh, no, it's not supposed to be done that way, and all of this type of thing. And yeah, aside from that, we have our resources, the readings, the cleanings, the chants, the prayers, the ebos, the apoches, the medicine. We have all of this, the sciences, you know, we have all of this that not many people partake in, or they partake in it on a very small level, like, you know, group level, or individually going from, you know, where you are to where you want to go. Okay? So some people don't move as fast as other people. But I just like to say that, you know, we could really benefit from having people that understand our spirituality, or some would call it a religion, and our mental state and how they interact with each other on a regular basis. Because, you know, like you said, spirituality can really help people. It can really help you, you know, not to the point where you're thinking, well, you only need it when because you need a job, or you want to get your man back, or, somebody doing something to you personally that you can't explain, and all of these type of things. But be living with the Orisha as part of your life, not just separate from like how the Christians do. You know, they go to church on Sunday, yeah, and then in the mid, the rest of the week they are like, you know, a bee on wheels. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not if you know when we do that, when we live with Orisha, you know, we're always thinking about how we can interact with them more, how we can get more blessings from them, you know?
Mm-hmm. You hit on a critical piece for evolution.
I have a hand raised here. I have a hand raised. Area code 470. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to tell you and Will, thank y'all for this conversation because it's well needed.
No problem. Thank you for calling.
Yes. I'm out on the road, but I get a chance to listen to this conversation. So, yes, it's much needed because I'm looking at some of these folks up in Atlanta that's practicing the tradition, and whew, people are battling themselves mentally for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I understand, though, Larry, I understand when people are trying to find their way to spirituality, and people, you know, a lot of people are very spiritually gifted. When I say gifted, they have these different things like foresight. They have, you know, they can see spirits, they can hear spirits, you know, they can feel vibes and all of these type of things. But some people take these things into, you know, they take it on another level and instead of trying to, you know, like harness it to develop themselves, like to elevate themselves. They take it as, you know, they could blow a church up, you know, that, you know, and you know, bad choice of words, but they can, you know, they can just do anything that they feel like, you know, instead of having, because a lot of people like, and these are the people who get caught up in spirituality as a means to do something bad to somebody else. A lot of people, they like to hear what you can do to probably make somebody get in an accident, what you can do to make somebody lose their husband or wife, what you can do to get, steal money from somewhere, what you can do, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And they pay money for stuff like that instead of paying the money or taking their time to learn to develop themselves spiritually, to use spirituality to elevate themselves, you know? And that's part of our problem where people get into these psychosis. And they think it's right because if, for instance, say they do something like that, right? And it works,
mm-hmm.
right? They figure that's the way they're going to be looking at spirituality the whole time. Like, oh, it works. You know, and then the moral judgment goes out, and a lot of them don't have no moral judgment. The moral judgment where they know something is wrong, and they still do it. They're not justified because maybe even the person didn't do them anything. It's all about their greed, their want, their desire, and they, you know, they want to engage spiritually to get their desire. You see, instead of working with the spirits or knowing that the spirits can actually be like genies and grant you a wish by showing you how to respond, how to, you know, how to interact, how to be. You see. So, you know, that's the point. And you'll find many people getting duped even, right? Because they go online and they look for people to do all kinds of things. And, you know, a lot of them are negative. Not all are negative things, But they look for people to do these things, and then next thing you know, nothing is done, okay? And they just keep looking, because they now caught in a cycle of, like an obsession to get something done. So we have, and I could say that for the people who also, like for instance, they'll come to you, get a reading, maybe get work done from you, and they'll go to four other different people and do the same thing. Because for a problem, not because they're trying to elevate themselves or anything, not because they're trying to understand Orisha, not because, you know, they're trying to be a better person, but they are wanting something. Okay? And then when things don't come through for them, then they pick the person that they least think will, you know, that will just not, you know, that would be me. Like, you know, I'd be like, you know, okay, well, you know, but the spirit said you went to see X, Y, and Z person. How do you expect to cook a pot of mush soup and then eat it? You know, you're going here and there and people are doing different things. You're not even giving one thing a chance to work. But now nothing works and you want to blame somebody. So you're going to blame the less likely person who is not going to like, who you think would not chop your head off.
Again, mental illness.
I don't understand what I'm saying. Yeah, but all of this leads to why the mental illness is so rampant, because you have people out there too that are accommodating these people because they know they just want something. Yeah, I will do this for you. All right, oh, tomorrow they will be dead. That kind of business, you understand? And next thing you know, okay, they charge how much X amount of money, and they pay it. Now what they do, they come to, they finally get humbled a little bit because they're at a loss, and they come to somebody who they think is the real deal, and they come with an empty hand, not even able to give the shirt off their back. You understand?
Yes.
So we have 19 people. So I don't know if we're going to go off. Hold that thought a minute, Larry. I don't know if we're going to get cut off, but if we don't get cut off, we could go a few minutes longer. If you hang up, then you would be off of the program permanently. You wouldn't be able to call back in after the 90 seconds. So I'd like to thank you, Will. Thank you very much for coming on tonight.
No problem.
And giving some very good points. And I'd like to thank our sponsors, Ile Orun, that's our house of tradition in Miami, the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area in Florida. And I'd like to thank all the listeners, everybody who chimed in, people that raised their hand and spoke. And I want y'all to have a very good day and, you know, try to work with the heads. Get a head rotation. Get an IFA reading. Don't rush yourself into becoming initiated. When you get initiated, you're wind up and your problems are compounded. Okay? Don't do that. You know, try to work with Orisha, understand Orisha better. Okay? All right? So before we go, I want to say one thing else about spirituality and mental health, because some spiritual, spirituality, right? There's absence of mental illness and presence of well-adjusted personality that contributes effectively to the life of any community, right? Meaning, well, the mental illness may be underlying. You know, it only comes out at, you know, like in some points, like when people have outbursts on Facebook, you know, and it's a priest. You know, you're a priest, but you have an outburst on Facebook, you know, And you don't know that, you know, it kind of demeans your position as a priest when you have these outbursts. You see? It demeans your position as a priest, and it takes away from the context of you being a priest, especially if you portray yourself as a priest out there. And then here you go. Bad mouthing, acting nasty, cursing and carrying on, calling people names and all these type of things. That's, man, that we don't do that. We don't do that. We like to give each other pleasantries. We like to greet each other with respect. Just like how Larry came on, he gave his salutation to me as an Ianifa, you know, mother of secrets in Ifa. You know, he gave the salutations. Do you understand? And this is the way that we, you know, we're supposed to carry on with each other in our tradition. But a deeper, more personal level is when you know that this person is in your tradition. You know who they're honoring the same deities as you, and then you're going to begin to, you know, curse them and carry on. And you know, like Will said, you got Shango, but I got Shango too. You see what I mean? And whether Shango is your head or whatever, you have Shango, I have Shango, you have Oshun, I have Oshun, you have Ogun, I have Ogun, you know. You know, I could go on and on and on because I have many Orishas. But at the same time, that does not make me be able to disrespect you, even if you have just one Orisha, you know, to disrespect you, and especially in public, oh my God, you know, to disrespect you in public, and that is just wrong. It's just wrong, and it's out of context, like the spirit say, it's totally out of context. So last but not least, and so we're going to go over a couple minutes, I wanted to discuss religion and what spirituality and religion is, what are they together? Because religion is institutionalized spirituality, right? There are several religions having different sets of beliefs, traditions, and doctrines. They have different types of community-based worship programs. Spirituality, however, is the common factor in all the worship programs. Okay? In all religion, it is possible that religion can lose their spirituality when they become institutions of oppression, instead of agents of goodwill, peace, and harmony. You see? And I don't know how you feel about that, Will. You know, I mean, let's look at Ifa from the African perspective, from the traditional side of Ifa, even the Lukumi side. You know, goodwill, peace, and harmony. You know, I don't know. I'm just seeing a lot of territorialism more so than promoting of the goodwill, peace, and harmony. Because if you're in the same thing, you're in the same thing. We're in the same boat. Okay? So what this article here is saying that religion can also become divisive instead of unifying, you know, if you're going to look at something. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing, especially when it comes to the Ilay aspect, you know, quote unquote, oh, this is my Ilay and we do this in my Ilay. You know, I've seen a lady went on video and she went to her Ilay and they were on video and something spiritual was going on, but it was a more F this and F that in the conversation on the video. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I'm like, you know, why? why is that going on at the ceremony in the house? You know, so I, you know, things like, I don't understand things like that, but I guess that was okay for their relay. You understand? Okay for their, you know, for the head of their relay, you know, whereas on a general scope, I feel that people should know that it's out of context. You don't think? It's out of context, you know? I just don't see it. I just don't see it, you know? It's just like when one time I was at an Ocha, you know, a ceremony with the initiation ceremony in the Lukumi tradition. And one of the my god sisters, you know, members of the Ile, she actually took out a cell phone, answered a cell phone while a major part of the ceremony was going on called the parada. The parada is, you know, like when you're crowning your egg womb. You understand?
Yeah, that's disrespectful.
She took out her phone. And I mean, I got chastised too because I slapped the phone out of her hand. I went bop on top of her head and the phone fell. And then the master of ceremony, the Oba was like, oh my God, you know, so, you know, after we finish it, of course, you know, she couldn't answer when the person was on the phone, but, you know, she didn't pick it up because then she would have to break the holding of the parada, you know. Anyway, so, you know, so after what he's like, he chastised us outside, you know, I'm like, you know, but what the hell is she doing with a phone in there? And I see it a lot now. I've seen it. I've seen some things happen, and I only could chalk it up to some lack of understanding or something is not going on right in your head. Like, you know, why break the context? Why go out of context? You know, why
or
do something
just
you're not supposed to be doing?
I was saying, or there could be a third possibility, which is just, like we said, or you're just rude and you think that that's allowed because this is what we see in the constant day-to-day. And the problem, I think that we alluded to but didn't say, the problem is that the conduct is different for you as a spiritualist. Just like the Christians say where they're like, yo, we're not worldly people, we're not. To a whole different standard. And there's rewards with that, and there's consequences with that. And I don't know how we resolve it, but it's just something to think about. Like a person in Ia, you know, having that much experience and whipping out her cell phone, it could be mental illness, or it could just be she's just rude as hell. She doesn't understand. Like,
but she even burned my skirt with a cigarette. She burned my Oshun skirt with a cigarette.
Oh wow, well nah, she is crazy then. That's her. I take it back. Yeah, she's
different. And I'm like this. I know
crazy.
She didn't know but sweet like she's not gonna get back at her. She burned my skirt.
But it's good you can laugh about it, and that's the thing. I just wanted to say one thing in closing because you said it, but I want to make sure people understand it. The whole point in all of this is that it's not a doom and gloom, even if you have mental illness. Like, there is a place, but that only comes when you allow yourself to be evolved or when you allow evolution to occur. Like what you were talking about before with the using Ifa personal gain or for getting a job or for getting somebody back or for punishing somebody, there's so much more to it. And when you come to the deeper understanding and you begin to evolve,
that's when the magic truly happens. But you can't rush yourself through that. That's it. That's all I got.
Ashe, that's beautiful. That's wonderful, you know, because, you know, I really don't want people to think, you know, that, you know, we're bashing at the way that they act and the way that they carry on. Just want them to realize where they can go with the Orisha, with their spirituality, aside from where they are, you know? I mean, we're always having to do evolves. We're always having to work something out because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect, and a lot of us carry a lot of baggage, you know? And at one point, I used to believe that coming to the world as, you know, coming from heaven that we call Orun, coming from heaven was something that that made you feel like being born, the trauma of being in the stomach, you know, like being in that dark place for a long time, for 9 months, and then the fight to get out through the passage to get out into the world was the reason why we forgot a lot of what we said we would do. Now, I personally believe that a lot of us, you know, we had some selfish issues, things that we wanted to do, and some of us have great things that we wanted to do. Some of us come to do some great things. You know, when people come to be killers and murderers, you know, I don't know about them people, but that's something for us to look into. Like, you know, what makes you come out like that? Is it the influence of the world? Or did you actually forget? Or did you come with that mission? It's the same way how I feel about homosexuality right now. After, you know, studying Ifa a little more, I understand that, you know, there are some people who come confused. They come to the world in one body, but they feel like they're in the other body. Ifa talks about that, you know, and actually some of them, that's their agreement. They come to say, well, okay, you know, I want to be a man, but I want to experience what it feels like to be a woman, or I want to be a woman, and I want to experience what it feels like to be a man, you see, and sexually in that way, and that's, you know, that's part of what's going on in this world right now. Okay? You know, which Odu was that? Let me see where, okay. I forgot which Odu it was. I think it's Odi Otura. No, that's where they thought Shanko was a homosexual. But anyway, one of the Odus, and I'm studying, you know, I'm studying the Odus and in relationship to different things that we're experiencing in life. And again, I'd like to thank you all for listening to our topic, mental illness in Ifa and Orisha community, mental illness and Ifa Orisha community problem with our special guest, Will. And we hope that, I can have some of you come on and talk about different issues that we're experiencing. That's what this show is about. That's what our group on Facebook by the same name, Ifa Orisha Egun Talks, is about. So you can check us out there. And there are many different Ifa groups online that you can go on Facebook and look and be a part of. We have information in our file section, so you can go there and read or download as much information as you like. You can also comment and post on topics that of your interest. As long as you follow the group rules, because we do have rules like, you know, no soliciting, no, you know, things like that. But real issues that we're facing. Thank you very much, and you all have a very good night. Thank you, Will.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.